Come on, let's go to the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 13. So much on my heart that I want to share from this passage of scripture. I highly doubt if I can get through all of it this morning. So the God says the same new world. Pick up where we leave off. At any time, I may just cut across the field and go on to my clothes, and go to the cross, and all that good stuff. Amen. So much that God has shared with me about this passage of scripture. I love this scripture. I love this parable. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. Can they say amen?
Amen.
Amen. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Yeah. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down.
Cut it down.
My God. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, until I shall dig about it and dung it, or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The dresser of the vineyard basically says, give this tree one more year.
My God.
Let's see if we can make it fruitful in one more year.
Okay.
This morning I want to talk to you from the subject, planted on purpose. Planted on purpose. You may be seated in the presence of God. Planted on purpose. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We pray, God, that you would saturate this place with your presence. Speak to us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Planted on purpose. I like how technology does at the end of each year, it begins to give you a recap of what you experienced the previous year. Your streaming services, your music streaming services will give you a recap of the music that you listen to, and it'll tell you what you listened to the most this year. Your social media will let you see what posts were liked the most this year. And what you like the most this year, and your photos in your phone will give you an annual recap. And
yeah.
Let you see, your experiences throughout this year. But I wondered what would happen if the Holy Spirit did a fruit recap of your year. What would the Holy Spirit show you if it recapped your fruitfulness? If you look at your church attendance, what would you see if you recap your church attendance? Would it show that you have been faithful to not neglect the fellowship of the saints together? Would it show that you prioritize your time with God and his people? Would it show that you have done what he asked you to do? What would it do if he recap your relationship with other people?
Jesus.
Would it show that you have shown yourself friendly, or would it show that you still went through a year where you were cutting everybody off?
Yep.
Not realizing that the people you cut off were glad that you cut them off. What would the recap look like if it looked at your devotional life? Would it show that you have been spending time with God and spending time in his presence and reading your Bible and spending time in prayer? Or would it show that you have prioritized everything else above your time with God? What would happen if, I ain't trying to start that, y'all just asking some questions. What would happen if it recapped your giving? Would it show that you took another year to tell God that it was impossible for you to put him first with your finances, yet and still you still got Netflix, ESPN Plus, Disney Channel, you still got cable, you still got all of the luxuries that you prioritize the word of God? What would it show if the Holy Spirit did a fruit recap?
Jesus.
Yeah.
My God.
To my brothers and sisters, but I want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful because I know that God expects me to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful because I know that my fruitfulness shows my connection to Christ. I want to be fruitful because my fruitfulness is a result of the grace, the mercy, and the goodness that God has poured on my life.
My God, yeah.
So let me say this at the beginning of this message, and I hate to say it because no preacher wants this to be the reality of their sermon, but this sermon is not for everybody, because this sermon is not for the people that are satisfied with their level of fruitfulness. This sermon is not for people that are not concerned with being fruitful for God. This sermon is only for the people whose prayer is, Lord, let me be more fruitful.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. So that you properly understand the context of what fruitfulness is, fruitfulness has nothing to do with how successful you are.
Come on.
Fruitfulness has nothing to do with how much money you have.
Yeah.
Fruitfulness has nothing to do with the secular and the worldly resolutions and goals that you might have. It has nothing to do with it. And I'm not hating on you.
Yeah.
I'm not hating at all. You ought to have a goal to make as much money as you probably. I hope you make all the money you can stand. I hope you make it all.
Yeah.
God is not concerned with how much money you have as long as the money doesn't have you. I hope you made all of it, because money gives you options. I want you to have the option of where to live and not just be forced to live in an area that you can afford. I want you to have the option so when your children get ready to go to school, they can go to school wherever they want to. I know you tell them that when they're young, but the reality is you ain't got enough money to send them to wherever they want to go. I hope you have some options. I want you to go get a nice car and pull it up. Parking in front of the church. I don't care if you have a pull up in a Bugatti that costs $20,000 to change the oil. I want you to have it all.
My God.
I want you to get a boat, a big boat that you can get out in the sea and go fishing whenever you want to, as long as you don't miss church on Sunday morning. No, I had to go fishing. I got you to have it all. But I learned that this is just a good tip. Keep this one in the back of your mind. You don't need a boat. You just need a friend with a boat. But all of those things do not represent fruitfulness. You can have all the money in the world and not be fruitful.
Right.
You can have the nicest house and the nicest car and still not be fruitful. Fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Having a lifestyle of repentance. That's number one. You got to have a lifestyle of repentance, because fruitfulness is not about being perfect, but fruitfulness is living a life of repentance.
Yeah.
When you analyze your actions and you ask God to forgive you and lead you in the right direction. That's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is having a life of reflection, where you are a reflection of Jesus Christ's character. That's where we get the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things are fruitful characteristics of Christ that we ought to have. Fruitfulness comes from righteousness.
Yeah.
And I mean that with the loose definition of righteousness that basically says you need to know how to act right.
Acting right is
fruitfulness. It doesn't mean you're going to be sinless, but it means you ought to sin. There you go, y'all got it. So when you look back over the years, you ought to see some progression in your behavior. The first thing fruitfulness is, it means you ought to reproduce more Christians.
Yeah.
That's fruitfulness. There ought to be people who are a part of the church because of your influence and your invitation. There ought to be people that you are leading to Christ by now. There ought to be people that that you are encouraging in Christ by now, instead of you needing all of the encouragement and all the teaching, you ought to be in a place where you are reproducing more Christians. There ought to be people that look at your life and say, I want to follow Christ because I see you following Christ.
Yeah.
That's what happens if you want to be fruitful.
Yeah.
And so as children of God, we should want to be fruitful.
Yeah. Mm.
Like this fig tree that's planted in this vineyard. The Bible says, Jesus is teaching this parable, and he says, there is a man that plants a fig tree in a vineyard. Certain man has this fig tree. And if you understand the intricate details of the parable, you would understand that this certain man is God. Yeah. And we are the fig trees planted in the vineyard.
Uh-huh.
So we, my brothers and sisters, are the possession of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as the possession of God, we have one responsibility, and that is to produce fruit for him.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's our responsibility. We have to produce fruit for him. And so everything that we do should be focused on, and the center of it should be to produce fruit for him.
That's right. That's right.
Now, there's some people who overdo this idea, and they become no earning the good because they overdo it. Just because Christ is supposed to be the center of your life doesn't mean that you have to exit yourself out of the reality of the world you live in. It doesn't mean that you have to go to a Christian school. It doesn't mean that if you start a business, it's got to be a Christian business. It just means that wherever you are, that you live a lifestyle that is reflective of Christ so that you can be fruitful wherever you
plant. My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Your responsibility is to produce fruit for him and not anybody else.
Yeah.
Anybody walking through that vineyard that saw that fig tree be fruitless, didn't have anything to say about it, except for the man that was in possession of the fig tree. He owned the fig tree, so the fig tree needed to produce fruit for him. The fig tree didn't have to worry about producing fruit for anybody else.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm going to let this sink.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because somebody is going to get delivered from trying to do everything to impress other people. When in fact, you are only obligated to be fruitful for God. See, somebody should have just fell out right there, because you just got delivered from all of the headache you had this year, all of the high blood pressure that you dealt with this year, because you spent so much time, money, and energy trying to impress other people, when in fact your only obligation is to produce fruit for God.
Yeah.
So you ought to take an inventory of all of the things on your goal list. Take an inventory of all of the things that are in your resolutions. Take an inventory of all of the things that you want to achieve, and ask yourself, why do I think I need this, this, and that? Is it so that you can prove to other people that you made it? Is it so that you can impress the people that doubted you? Is it so that you can feel better about yourself? Comparison with other people? If that is the case, you're going to run yourself in the ground trying to chase something that is vain anyway.
Yeah.
When your only goal in life ought to be fruitful for God.
Yeah.
That's why you've been planted on purpose, is for you to be fruitful for him, not for anybody else. You've been planted on purpose so that you can produce fruit for God. So not only is this fig tree the possession of God, but it is planted with purpose. The Bible says the fig tree is planted in the vineyard. And in scripture, the representation of the vineyard is Israel.
Yeah.
God's people.
Yeah.
When the prophets talked about a vineyard, they oftentimes used the vineyard to point to Israel.
Yeah.
you hear the word vining through scripture. When you get that word, it's a picture of Israel. That's why Jesus says, I am the true vine.
Yeah.
And my father is the husbandman, because the vineyard was a representation of God's people.
Uh-huh.
And so he puts the fig tree in the vineyard because he wanted the fig tree to be amongst God's people in a place where God knew that the fig tree would be invested in. When I read this text, I said, wait a minute. Why is there a fig tree in a vineyard? The vineyard is supposed to be for vines with grapes growing on
it.
But why would there be a fig tree in the vineyard? And I came to the conclusion that the man wanted the fig tree in a place where it could be taken care of and it could be invested in, so that the investment that is put in it could cause the fig tree to produce fruit.
My word.
The fig tree is supposed to produce where it has been planted. My question to you, my brothers and sisters, is, are you producing where you've been planted? Or do you keep asking God to move you to are you producing where you've been planted?
My goodness, that's a good
question. Are you asking God to move you to another place? This is what I've learned through years of pastor. This church is 19 years old. I was pastoring 3 years before I organized this church. So I've been pastoring over 20 years. And I know what you're saying. Pastor, you only look 20 something. I'm going,
how boy? Who's talking when you were 6 years
old? And as a pastor, you have to have tough skin. Especially when you are a pastor like me. I'm just a country down home family pastor. I want to know everybody in my congregation. I want to know your name. I want to know your children's name. I want to be able to shake your hand. So, you know, if we grow to thousands of people, that's cool, but it don't bother me at all. If we, you know, 400-500, that's cool with me, because I want to know everybody and make sure that you are being discipled and growing in Christ. That's just who I am. That's my makeup. That's how God created me. So I'm cool with it. But you got to have tough skin, because people are going to leave you.
If they are.
And when I first started pastoring, I took it personal. I can't believe they left and they said they weren't growing. I've been preaching my little heart out, been praying and studying my Bible. Lord, is there something wrong with me? Then I heard an older preacher say, if you are a parent and you got 10 kids and they all sit down and eat at the same dinner table, and 9 of them are healthy and growing. And one of them looks like they're starving to death. The problem is probably not with the food. The problem is probably with that person's digestive system. And so as a pastor, I had to learn that if somebody leaves and say they're not growing and they don't get what they need, the problem probably ain't me. It's that they are choosing not to grow where they've been planted. Notice, if you will, the man doesn't ask about the vines producing grapes, because the vines were doing what they were called to do. He didn't complain about anything else in his vineyard. The only thing he complained about was that the fig tree was not producing fruit. The fig tree decided not to be productive where it had been planted. Can I talk to somebody? And tell you, God has you right where you need to be, and he expects for you to produce where you've been planted. Got to produce where you've been. He plants him in the vineyard, in a place where he could be taken care of, a place where he would, where the vine dressers would inadvertently also care for the fig tree, so there would be no excuses for the fig tree to say, I couldn't grow because I was here. I couldn't grow because I didn't get this. I couldn't grow because I didn't get that. There were no excuses. And some of us, our lives are filled with validations and excuses.
Yeah.
We're always moving the goalposts to make it, to validate our mistakes and validate us not being where we ought to be. But God is trying to tell somebody this morning, you have no excuses.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You got to produce where you've been. And I found that there is a benefit of the fig tree being in the vineyard.
What's that?
Benefit because, number one, the fig tree has deep roots. And so the nourishment from the fig tree doesn't compete with the nourishment from the vines. So the things growing on the vines can grow without the concern of the fig tree trying to take the nourishment. And then the figs are supposed to ripe before the grapes ripe. So oftentimes people would come to the vineyard knowing that there would not be grapes there, but predicting and assuming that they could reach up on the fig tree and eat the figs until the grapes are ripe.
My goodness.
Then because of the roots of the fig tree, it keeps the soil together in the vineyard and helps the soil not to erode. And so it is keeping things together. And oftentimes people at that time knew that if they passed by a vineyard and they saw a fig tree, it was a representation that there was somebody who was taking care of this vineyard.
Yeah.
And you couldn't just walk in there and take what you needed because the fig tree was a symbol that there is an operation going on around here.
Yeah.
So can I just present this to somebody this morning, that the fig tree was doing everything that it could to help the grapes out, but was doing nothing to help itself. The fig tree was blocking the winds from blowing the vines over. The fig tree leaves would give shade to the vine just in case the sun was trying to scorch up the vine and the grapes died. The fig tree was doing everything it was supposed to do, but not producing fruit for itself. Let me put across the field this morning and let somebody know this is the last year.
Come on.
You help everybody else and not produce yourself. This is the last year you invest in everybody else, but I have no return on your investment. This is the last year everybody shops around you to come from you, but you're going to have it to say that it's not about yourself. This is the last year. This coming year, you're going to just not keep everybody else together, but you're going to have yourself together too. I just need a few of y'all around here this morning and thank God because you're going to make the commitment to be fruitful this coming year. If that's you this morning, you need to holler, I've been planted for the purpose. You need to make the declaration, I've been planted for the purpose. You need to tell somebody this morning, I've been planted with the serpent. Give somebody a high five and tell them you've been planted too. Find two or three people to shake by the hand and tell them you've been planted. Find somebody that'll help you thank God. Find somebody that'll help you say hallelujah. Find somebody that'll help you say thank you. Because they know you've been planted with the serpent. If you know he planted you with a purpose in mind, stop yet. If you know you've been planted with a purpose, stop yet. If you're going to produce what you've been planted, stop yet. If you're just thankful this morning, that he gave you a second, that he gave you another year. Somebody praise him in this place. Give him some glory in this place. The devil didn't think he was going to make it, but to the last Sunday of this year, that he should have forgiven what you must have wrote, but it's too late now. Because you discovered this morning, you've been planted with the perfume. Somebody. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.
Glory to the
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Glory to the Lord. That was a man.
Yeah.
He had a fig tree.
Yeah.
Planted in a river.
Yeah.
So he came back 3 years. There was no fruit on that tree.
Yeah.
So it was mine, Chris, and just put it down.
Yeah.
Why would you let it take up space here in this ground?
My God.
You could plant something here that would be profitable, something here that would produce.
Yeah.
Mind just to say, give it another chance.
Yeah.
Give it one more.
Yeah.
Somebody in this church this morning, you're just thankful.
Yeah.
That God gave you one more chance.
Thank you.
This morning that his grace and his mercy gave you one more chance. Is there somebody here this morning, and this ain't everybody, but you're thankful that he gave you chance after chance after chance after chance after chance.
I got it.
We thank him for his mercy. Come on, let's sing it all over.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for every new
individual around this altar, every family that they represent. God, we pray, Father, that you will continue to be with them, continue to walk with them, continue to stand by them, continue to comfort them with your mercy and your grace. We pray, Father, that any attack of the enemy, you would curtail it right now. We stand against the move of the enemy, God, and we expect a move from you, oh God. We expect for your spirit to move in our life. We expect, God, for you to continue to invest in us so that we can produce the fruit that you demand. We thank you, God, because we know that it was by your goodness and your grace that we made it. It was by your mercies, God, that I've been everlasting, Father. We thank you, God. It is by your kindness, God, that you didn't have to give to us, but you did anyhow, and we thank you, God. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your protection. We thank you, God, that when the enemy thought he had us, you allowed us to get away. We thank you, God, for keeping us in your own way of keeping us. We thank you, God. We thank you, God.
Thank you.
I need your help this morning. Do me a big favor. I wish I could hug everybody this morning. So I'm going to use your arms this morning. You gotta use your arms. Make sure everybody gets a big hug as you make your way back to your seat. Make sure everybody gets a big hug. Make sure everybody gets a big hug. This morning. Come on, give God the praise for his word. Come on, you can do better than that for the word of God.
Amen.
We're standing all over the building. We're standing.
Yes, Lord.
We're standing. You were planted with a purpose.
Thank you.
Very quickly. You may be here this morning without Christ, without hope, without assurance of your eternal destination. We want you to know that Jesus died for you and as you. If you would believe that in your heart and confess it out of your mouth, that you would make him Lord of your life. The Bible says that you will be saved. Also, if you are in need of a church home, this is a wonderful place to go and grow in the knowledge of him whom he died for us. So, if that's you, we speak to whether by invitation of the Holy Spirit or wishing to join this church, would you meet us right here at the altar right after service, and we will walk you through those things.
Amen.
Pastor said that he will do part two of this message on next Sunday morning as we go into the new year. Amen. Once again, if you did not have the opportunity to give, you're welcome to give at promisechurch.org/donate, or you're welcome to get a envelope in the back as you go into the vestibule. Amen.
Yes, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. May he bless you in the city. May he bless you in the field. May he bless your going out and your coming in. May the favor of God grant you what money cannot buy you. And may you always remember that you have been planted with a purpose. Right hand over your heart, repeat after me. I've got promise.
I've got promise.
I'm yours, child. I'm growing spiritually. I'm given to my community. And I'm guaranteed to be blessed.